I'm here with Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, let's take a look at Italy. And it looks like the EU is pulling out one of the playbooks that they used from Austria and the US, I guess you could say as well. And they're kind of saying that Salvini now is working with Putin, and he's a puppet of the Kremlin. And you know, the globalists, the elites, they're not gonna die an easy death. They're gonna go out fighting, and they're focused on bringing down Salvini, it seems. Tell us what's going on, Alexander, in Italy with this story, and how it's connected to the Freedom Party in Austria, which, you know, because it worked. Unfortunately, because it worked, it seems that they're now, you know, copying and pasting it over to other problem spots like Salvini in Italy. Yes. So give us the story here.
Let's just go back to what happened in Austria. I mean, if we all remember, this was a couple of weeks ago. Austria had a right-wing coalition government, with the junior partner in that government being the Freedom Party, which is an old party in Austria. It's been around for a long, long time, and which is known to have a somewhat sympathetic view to Russia. At least it wants good relations with Russia, which, if you've been to Austria, as I have done, and you know the economics of the Austrian state, as I also do, you will know that a good economic relationship with Russia is extremely important for Austria. So the Freedom Party, of course, gets accused of being neo-Nazi, crypto-fascist, all sorts of things. There is this assumption that is now becoming almost orthodoxy within the EU establishment, the people you've referred to as the neoliberal globalist establishment that basically runs the EU, and which, to stress, extends to most of the media in the EU also. And of course, all the mainstream political parties, that anybody who is pro-Russian or expresses a desire for good relations with Russia, and anybody who is right-wing, which I find especially bizarre, must in some form be connected to Russia in something which the Financial Times, in a very strange editorial, is now referring to as the axis of illiberalism. I mean, that there's a sort of right-wing international, if you like, bringing together all these right-wing parties and controlled by Moscow.
Jeez.
And I mean, this is now the sort of new idea. Well, I know, absolutely. Now, and in order to prove that this was so in relation to the Freedom Party, Der Spiegel, which is a sort of left of center, very pro-establishment German news magazine, released a video of the leader of the Freedom Party and one of his aides meeting with a glamorous woman in a rented villa in Ibiza. I think it was Ibiza, but anyway, one of the Balearic Islands.
Yeah,
and supposedly agreeing to accept her help, this woman claiming to be the daughter, or
niece, daughter,
whatever, of some super oligarch. Connected to Putin, of course, because all Russian businessmen are all oligarchs, and all oligarchs are somehow part of the Russian government and the Russian state and are connected to Putin. Anyway, that's the other axiomatic assumption. So she supposedly offered to buy some media outlets and to provide help to the Freedom Party in return for various favours. Anyway, nothing was actually agreed. The people from this party made it absolutely clear that they were not prepared to do anything, that it was in any way underhand or which broke the law. But nonetheless, the whole thing was sort of filmed because the villa was rigged with hidden cameras and hidden microphones. And 2 years after the event, this video was leaked. And it turned out that this woman wasn't, in fact, connected to the oligarch, the supposed oligarch in Russia, and wasn't, in fact, even Russian. But I've heard that she's an actress from somewhere in the former Yugoslavia. That's another
Yugoslavia,
story.
I heard Latvia.
Latvia, wherever. But anyway, I mean, the point is that it was, the whole thing was staged. Just a stage. It was a sting. But it was used by Sebastian Kurz, who is the Chancellor of Austria and who was the head of the Conservative Party in Austria, the equivalent in Austria of Angela Merkel's CDU, and who was clearly embarrassed in some way about his coalition with the Freedom Party. He used it as a pretext to end the coalition and to call fresh elections in Austria, which are due in a few weeks. So this was a case of a sting. Now, something rather similar seems to be happening in Italy. We've been hearing all kinds of rumours circulating that Salvini's party has been getting funding from Russia. And there was a report that somebody who was close to Salvini also supposedly met with some Russian oligarchs, or rather Russian businessmen, or at least something to do with Russia. And again, there were stories about money changing hands or proposals for deals, which never actually, again, crystallized into anything, but which is being used to claim that Salvini is being financed and backed by the Kremlin. Now, this has been said, as I said, about the Freedom Party in Austria. It's often been said about Marine Le Pen in France, that Putin and Russia somehow back her. In her case, because her party quite openly solicited and obtained a small loan from a Russian-connected bank in the Czech Republic. And now, of course, they're going after Salvini, who is insisting quite strongly that he has absolutely no connections to Russia, no financial connections to Russia, that he's never had any kind of Russian cash, and that his party is not in any way backed in the financially by the Russians. Of course, Salvini, like Marine Le Pen, like the Freedom Party in Austria, wants better relations with Russia, is sceptical about the sanctions, is hostile to the EU integrationist project, is resistant to immigration, and has talked about and is regularly referred to in the media as being ultra-right in a way that sort of is intended to imply that he's some sort of fascist. So it's the same copybook that we've seen in France, that we saw very highly developed in Austria, and it's now being used in Italy against Salvini. Salvini's come out fighting. It's having no effect, as far as I can see, on his popularity in Italy, which continues to grow. But I don't think it is any coincidence that it is happening alongside what is now increasingly looking like an international media campaign against him. With The Economist, for example, The Economist magazine in Britain, which is widely read in the United States, referring to Salvini as the most dangerous man in Europe, and with the Democratic Party in Italy, which is the party of the former Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi, the left of center party, calling for an investigation, and even Salvini's junior coalition partner, the Five Star Movement, seeming to join in those calls also. So I am quite sure that Salvini will ride this out, but that's the background to the story. It is part of a media campaign against Salvini and an attempt at a time when the EU looks increasingly fragile to discredit him as somehow an agent of the Kremlin. Now, I'm going to make one other very general point. I understand that the Freedom Party in Austria is showing great resilience in the opinion polls. It's not lost much support as a result of the sting that was perpetrated it on a few weeks ago. There's no sign that Marine Le Pen has suffered as a result of all this connection to Russia that has been concocted around her. And there's no sign, as I said, that Salvini's popularity is in any way affected. So it's very strange to me that they continue with this very bizarre campaign of trying to prove Russian connections behind all these people when, firstly, there is no evidence that there is Russian connections. And secondly, there isn't really much evidence that it has much political or at least electoral effect.
Yeah, Salvini is considered the de facto leader of Italy for the League Party, the North League Party, I believe is the full name. And the person that you are referring to, his friend, his associate, was Gianluca Savioni, who was caught soliciting illegal party funding from three Russian nationals.
If he really was, because as I said, I mean, we saw that with Austria, that wasn't really true, that was a sting. And I would not be at all surprised if this also turns out to be some kind of a sting.
Right.
It looks like it. I mean, I'm not saying it was. All I am saying is that it's been really, really interesting to see the kind of media campaign that's been orchestrated around this thing and how quickly it's taken off. And how many political parties in Italy and elsewhere are joining in this campaign. So, I mean, the other, of course, person who suffered to an extreme degree this insinuation that he's somehow backed by Russia is Donald Trump in the United States.
Yeah.
And Nigel Farage has also suffered similar allegations in Britain. But as I said, it's never really had much effect on the electoral support of any of these people.
Yeah, it's a one-trick pony. That's all the neoliberals, the globalists, the autocrats have. Yeah. I mean, everyone's a fascist when they are, in fact, the fascists. There's no doubt about it. Everyone is a fascist in their eyes.
Yes.
And everyone is a racist in their eyes. And that's they just use the same technique over and over again. But the troubling part with what happened in Austria and what's happening with Salvini is that they're actually creating now, they're fabricating these sting operations.
Yes.
I mean, they're using intelligence agencies, they're using, like you said, actresses and you know, setting up cameras in Ibiza in different locations. They're actually actively trying to trap, you know, leaders here who don't fall in line with their ideological, their radical ideological authoritarian viewpoints. And that's what they did in Austria, and that's what they're trying to do to Salvini. And you're right, he's not losing popularity. He's gained popularity. Le Pen gained popularity. They swept the table in the EU parliament elections, as well as Farage. They crushed it, all three of them. So they're not winning, the neoliberal globalists. They're unable to win, but they're still using these tactics, Alexander, and they're dangerous tactics. I don't. They're really underhanded and slimy and creepy kind of stuff that they're doing.
And can I just add to those who say, Alex, that you're going, that when you mention intelligence agencies, that, you know, this is an alarmist view, that editorial in the Financial Times, which I referenced, and which unfortunately we can't provide you with a link to because it's behind a paywall, that actually talks about the intelligence agencies supposedly being suspicious of the alleged Russian connections behind all of these people.
Well, in the US, it was all intelligence agencies. I mean, the entire weight of the FBI, the NSA, the CIA was trying to...
Of course.
To execute a soft coup against Trump. I mean...
Absolutely. Trying to prove the existence, as I said, of this new right-wing international headed by Moscow, the Kremlin. of which, as I said, there's no evidence at all. There really isn't. I mean, this is completely fictitious. And Salvini has never made any secret of his wish for better relations between Italy and Russia. And I'm going to make another point here, which is, of course, something which I think people in Northern Europe and in the United States may not fully understand, which is that in Italy, there is no anti-Russian feeling to any great extent as there is in Northern Europe. I mean, there is no history of Russophobia of the kind that you find in Britain and the United States and the Netherlands and Germany even to work with. So it's a particularly foolish trick to try and play in Italy. And it's now taking some very bizarre turns because I don't think this is a complete coincidence. I mean, there's now we've had this bizarre business about the raid on the actual neo-Nazi group, which I'm sure you've been informed about, Alex, in which turned up all these arms, all these weapons, right, including this surface-to-air missile that may have been sourced in Libya and which originated apparently in the United Arab Emirates, but which was apparently made in France. Anyway, what was really striking was how the media immediately assumed that this neo-Nazi group was somehow connected to Russia and had been fighting in Ukraine against the Ukrainians and on the side of the militias in the Donbass, when the police announcement was actually said the exact opposite, that right, this group actually had been involved in the fighting in Ukraine, but on the side of the Ukrainian government and against the militias in the Donbass. And I think there is a connection to Salvini in this story. Firstly, because of the way the media immediately, the international media immediately rushed to the assumption that, as I said, this particular neo-Nazi group is pro-Russian, when it is actually intensely and furiously, violently anti-Russian. But also, it seems that Salvini is now saying that he tipped the police off, the Italian police off, about this group because he received reports from intelligence agencies, from, you know, presumably more neutral intelligence agencies, that there was a murder plot out against him. Now, I don't know the truth of all of this, but it's quite clear that this group is anti-Salvini. And yet there's again this media attempt to lump it with Salvini and to bring in Russia. Now, can I reiterate again for our viewers, Salvini is not an agent of Russia any more than Donald Trump is an agent of Russia or Nigel Farage is an agent of Russia. This axis of illiberalism, this international ultra-rightists supposedly but controlled by Moscow, does not exist. What does exist across Europe is growing resistance on the part of many people, increasing numbers of people, to the EU's integrationist project. And that sometimes finds support on the left, but more often now, It is finding support on the right. And that is why these people are being targeted.
Yeah, it's a fight for sovereignty, whether you're talking about, you know, people in the UK and people who support Farage, or people who support Le Pen, or the Yellow Vests, or in Austria, or Orban in Hungary, or Salvini in Italy. And they've got massive support. We saw it during the EU Parliament elections.
Absolutely.
And the funny part about the story that you just mentioned, Alexander, going back to the whole, you know, Ukraine thing, neo-Nazis. Now the word is that the Ukraine neo-Nazis, these are real neo-Nazis, by the way, not the imaginary neo-Nazis that people think are in the United States or all over, you know, Italy or Europe. I mean, these are real neo-Nazis.
Yes.
Not the the phantoms that people, you know, think are supporting Trump. Real neo-Nazis now in Ukraine, a country that's trying to get into the European Union, are now upset with Salvini and Italy because of what happened. The neo-Nazis that the EU and the United States supported during the Maidan coup. So yes. Everything is backwards and upside down.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. That's entirely right. I mean, reality is being turned on its head. And it's logical. I mean, if you spend any time with Russia, in Russia, as both of us have done, the idea that the Russians, the Russian people who were the object of the Nazi attack in the Second World War and who suffered terribly to defeat it, would be in any way sympathetic to neo-Nazi movements, and that Putin himself, whose father fought in that war and was severely wounded during it, would have any time for those sorts of movements. It's an absolutely fantastic one. It's absolutely grotesque. It's nonsense. I mean, when it was the Soviet Union did have very strong links with communist parties across Europe. And there was a time up to the 1940s when they were all united together in an organization called the Communist International. But this, there is no equivalent to this in Europe today. And real neo-Nazis hate Russia. They hate Russia in Ukraine. They hate Russia in the Baltic states, where they often parade under neo-Nazi symbols, but, you know, again, attract no attention in the West. And, of course, they hate Russia in Italy, as we've seen with this group.
All right, well said, Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell to make sure you get notifications every time we push out a new video. A lot of people are saying that they have been unsubscribed from our YouTube channel. So just do a double check and make sure you're still subscribed so you can get notifications when a new video comes out. You can also help us by donating to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. The links are in the description box down below. You can get an audio copy of this video. Follow us on iTunes and SoundCloud as well. You can also follow us on Instagram, theduran_com. And Alexander, today I received my Alpha Spetsnaz mug.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. I think it's absolutely amazing. It's one of our marvelous mugs, of which I've got one here, my own. This is our Duran mug with our Duran logo, and I'm again drinking tea from it. To be precise, I'm drinking Jasmine Pearl this time, which are another Chinese tea. But your Alpha mug has the symbol of Alpha. Alpha is a Russian special forces unit. As I said, the Russians consider it their best special forces unit. It was created, it's got a long history actually, but formally, I believe, it was created in the 1970s by the former Soviet leader, Yuri Andropov. He wasn't that long the Soviet leader, but he was head of the KGB, but he created it then. But in fact, it traces its history far back into the 50s. And it's had very many famous exploits behind it. And what you have on your mug, Alex, is its badge, its logo, which is really, really striking to see. And I think you've got another mug, yeah, Alex.
The logo is nice. I mean, these are so well made. I'm actually stunned at how nice and how beautiful the colors are, the blue and the yellow and the red. I mean, but I got this, and this one's my favorite because this is just simple, elegant, stylish. Elegant. And it was our new mug that you've been talking a lot about.
Absolutely.
And yours is on its way, so you should be getting yours any day now. But this is the famous Putin mug with the Kremlin emblem right on there. And I mean, it's just so stylish. It's just really simple, really sleek. Once again, the emblem is so nicely placed on this mug.
Oh,
it's incredible.
And
they're really weighted well. I mean, these are, cheap mugs are like light and flimsy. I mean, these things are, this is like strong.
It is.
It really feels good.
And it, And they don't flake or chip or do anything like this, and they keep the tea or
So
coffee, or
nice.
I presume you're more a coffee person.
Yeah, I'm
Alex,
more a
I'm
coffee
a
person, but
coffee
I
person.
mean,
But as I said, it keeps the liquid
I'm
wonderfully. It
speechless,
balances
honestly.
so well. And can we just say to people that the coat of arms that you see, this is our double-headed eagle. This is the Moscow double-headed eagle, the imperial, if you like, double-headed eagle with St. George and the dragon and the Russian imperial crown there. But one you've got, can I see it again,
Yeah.
Alex? The one you've got is the current double-headed eagle, as used by the Russian state, and which you will see in the Kremlin. And as we both know, Putin had a mug rather like that one. Actually, it was a thermos mug, but it was very like that one. Similar kind of porcelain body, very same color, with that very same
With that emblem,
symbol,
holding the
emblem.
scepter,
Exactly,
the crown, everything.
exactly. And he had it with him in Osaka at the G20 summit, where it made quite an impression. And of course, all the pottery, the porcelain, all the tableware in the Kremlin carries that same symbol. So if you want to see something and handle something very like what Putin himself handles, well, there you got it. And it's amazing, and it comes in a beautiful 15-ounce mug
Yeah, these are the
made
15
with.
ounce as well, by the way.
And they're all 15-ounce. So I mean, they are really wonderful mugs.
Alexander Mercuris, editor-in-chief of the Durant, thank you very much.